The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Wyatt Tomchak, everybody, filling in for the vacation in Kelly Binlin, who's what, like roughly halfway through his trip to Turks? He's just chilling.
I would say so. Is that the worst part of the vacation when you realize you have less amount of days? Like you got like 1 or 2 days left. You're just like, dreading it.
Some people are neurotic about that kind of thing. My brother, he's like, what do you mean? I've been here 2 days. That means there's only 7 left.
Okay, not that
like,
bad.
He's bad like that. Yeah. I hope Kelly's not like that. Kelly avoiding the inclement weather, I hope. Breaking his streak of bad weather events when he goes on vacation.
I will say, Kelly, the photos that he's posting on Instagram, Twitter, beautiful weather.
Beautiful.
He looks like he's having a good time.
Good. I hope he has a savage tan.
Yes, he had a much better day than I did as a sports fan.
Well, why? Because
I tell you what, you have a great love and passion for sports, and sometimes your teams play on the same day. And sometimes they're in playoff games.
I'm just going to break down the Pacers-Bucks series for you. The Pacers are better. How about that? Sorry. Sienna Wyatt on the show today, everybody.
Can we cut Gil's mic here?
Will Hill will join us momentarily, talk NFL draft, maybe some Major League Baseball and NBA bets that he has. Not maybe. He's got a bunch. We'll do two with Will. How about that? Jason Weingard from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Jason, who's going around, it's interesting. Now that Shador is consensus dropping everywhere, he's texting me all day. He's like, everybody's coming around to my opinion about Shador dropping. I'm like, I missed that part where you said that. We'll get to Jason's thought about the NFL draft. JVT, our NBA senior analyst, talking to NBA playoffs tonight. Another 3 games in the association tonight in the first round of the playoffs. Jonathan Davis, another 3 games in the first round of the NHL playoffs. We'll talk to him, get all his bets tonight. And then Siad Najad with some Zurich Classic thoughts in golf, little team event this week, and anything lingering with the NFL draft with him. Speaking of the draft, well, let me throw in the tennis real quick before we get to the draft.
Yes, sir.
Todd McShay just put out a mock, and I want to talk about it for what it's worth. But tennis, for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks, we're on clay. Clay has been way better than hards were, strangely, this year. We had a big, remember, on Thursday, a 4-1 where we were 6-1, 5-1 in that fifth to try to go 5-0, and she gacked it. There was a couple north of $2 dogs in there. Well, we got off to a good start this morning with Maria Carlet. It's Maria Louise Carlet, I believe, and they call her ML Carlet. See what I did there?
Ooh, I like that.
She beat Rebecca Stramkova this morning, so we cash on the plus 157. We're in a couple dog fights right now with Rebecca Masarova and Suzanne Lemens, but the two matches that have not started, and Ashlyn Kruger may be starting right about now. Ashlyn Kruger I have over Anastasia Potapova. That's at even money. You have to race to get that one in if that has not started yet. The one that is yet to begin, and you have some time, and by some time, I mean, well, maybe like a half hour or so, but you know how tennis goes. Francesca Jones, the English player, Francesca Jones, over Diana Yastremska, got her at plus 151, so that's a little later on. So Kruger and Jones is what remains in tennis today. To the NFL, the draft, a little over 48 hours away. Let me just say this, Wyatt. And I talked about this with Luke and Drew yesterday on the Beating the Book NFL Draft podcast. Thank you for hooking that up, by the way.
No problem. I think that went really well.
I do. But it is admittedly, and we all kind of admitted this afterwards, it's a tough draft to talk about when mayhem is predicted. And from a betting standpoint, again, the arc of this is 3 years ago and beyond, it was an ATM machine. 2 years ago was the CJ Stroud year, which kind of torpedoed that draft for some of us. Myself, for sure, because you're just convinced, oh, my God, plus money on CJ to go number one. That didn't happen. And then last year was a loss. And so you wonder going into this draft, okay, is this going to be back to how it used to be or what? And I just think that the brain has to forget about the 8-1s and the 12-0s and how it used to be. This just ain't that anymore. But if you can hit, you just have to sort of be okay with having one or two bets that are going to rule the day for you. And if you hit those, it's a winner, and you move on to your next bet, right? And then you're watching the NBA right afterwards, tomorrow night. For what it's worth, Todd McShay just put out his last mock this morning. Thank you to Michael Montesano for reporting this morning to me. I'll give you the first 14 picks here from McShay. The first four are as most would expect. Cam Ward to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to the Cleveland Browns at 2, Abdul Carter to the Giants at 3, and yes, Will Campbell, the Louisiana State offensive tackle, to the New England Patriots at 4. After 4 is where it goes a little squirrely, a little janky.
Now, is this something that you like? Are you?
Well, I'm getting to something I like.
Okay.
But this one I wouldn't necessarily like. He has Jacksonville, and this has been rumored now in the last 24, 48 hours. This is Todd McShay's mock draft. This is not the actual draft, of course, but take it for what it's worth. He has Ashton Jeanty going to the Jaguars at 5.
Wow,
he also has them going to the Jaguars at 5. I don't know if you know that. Both teams get to pick at 5. But they both go Ashton Jeanty in McShay's draft.
Is that it? Matt Brown's the Bengals.
Yeah, he's Bengals.
Yes.
Bengals. That's right. Ashton Jaenty to the Jaguars at 5. With Jaenty off the board, he has the Raiders going Kelvin Banks Jr., the Texas offensive tackle, at 6. So you go offensive. So what is that? So two offensive tackles in a span of 3 picks there with Jaenty in between. So Kelvin Banks Jr. goes to the Raiders at 6. Then he has Jaylon Walker going, the Georgia linebacker, going to the Jets at 7. So the Jets, who have really been mum's the word, they've been really quiet. They end up in that mock going with Jaylon Walker, Georgia linebacker, at 7. Then he's got Walter Nolan, the Mississippi defensive tackle, going to the Panthers at 8. And then if this happens, this makes my draft. At number 9, he then has the New Orleans Saints going edge with Mykael Williams out of Georgia. So I have that at 7-1. That's a nod to Luke Swain, who was the one who suggested this. If that hits, the only two big bets I have are Travis Hunter going 2 at -135. That appears to be a winner. But if this one happens on top of it, it's a winning day. I couldn't care less what the other 3 or 4 bets are, because the other three, those two that I just mentioned, were at MGM here. They actually take a bet. The 3 or 4 others I have are offshore, and they really don't take many. They don't take much on a one pop. You have to submit over and over and over and over, and I don't do that. I didn't do that in this case. I should say I don't do that, but I didn't in this case. After Mykael Williams to New Orleans at 9, he has Mason Graham. Mason Graham would be the one who drops here. Mason Graham goes to Chicago at 10, the Michigan defensive tackle. And then McShay, 11 through 14, has Shamar Stewart from A&M, edge rusher to the Niners at 11. Ted Aroa McMillan goes to the Cowboys at 12. I hate you, Dave Ross, if that happens. Dave Ross listening in his car. Armon Membu, Mizzou offensive tackle, goes to the Dolphins at 13, and then Ty Warren, the Penn State tight end, would go to the Colts at 14. So there you go, for what it's worth.
That has to be the first mock draft that I've seen where Ashton Jaenty is going to the Jaguars, where they have ETN.
Well, this is the last 48 hours. You've heard a lot of that.
It is hilarious, Gil, when you wake up and see all the news that pops in. Oh, teams are going to be active in trades. Like, teams in the top 10 today, I saw, are going to be active in calls. It's so funny when you hear this year after year after year. And what's the percentage of those trades happening? It's got to be less than 5%.
Well, that's the thing. With these mock drafts, if you mock in trades, then what are we really doing? Yeah. What's the exercise? But if they're immediately when there are trades, and there could be, Matt Brown made the point yesterday when he was on a numbers game with us, because, you know, if you do your big board, if talent number 4 all the way to 40, if that's more of a flat line than in typical years, you could get a lot of trades, right? With the just the small amount of difference, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you don't get trades because there's such a small amount of difference in talent. But we'll see. Anyway, these are my bets. I don't know why we refused to put up my New Orleans 7-1. I don't know why we refused to do that.
I messaged our graphics guy, and he gave me the okay. It looks like we're gonna have to make a stink about this.
Travis Hunter, 2nd overall, -135. That's the one of the two big bets. New Orleans to go defensive line edge 7-1 is the other big bet. That's the last one I've made. In between, I made 4, and like I said, if the first and last hit, I don't know, you know, if it matters with any of these. Matthew Golden, first wide receiver selected at +140. That was based on mocks. I even said when I bet that, when I first talked about this, I'd pick Ted Aroa McMillan first. I was just going off mocks. So Matthew Golden, first wide receiver, +140, expecting to lose that. Total first-round running backs, I have under 2.5 at -186. That may lose, based on what some folks are saying. Tyler Warren, over 9.5. I feel pretty good about that one. -258, laid a lot of juice. And Ashton Jaenty, over 9.5 at +165. If you believe McShay, that ain't going to happen.
I think I asked you this the other day. was Shador kind of the most polarizing prospect to figure out where he's going to go? I feel like now Ashton Jeanty is. So now you've got Jaguars.
Oh, you're talking about Raiders.
I think
it's
Broncos.
Shador. I think it's Shador.
Okay.
Because the Jeanty thing, no one has Jeanty dropping. Like, okay, maybe it is the Jaguars. Maybe it is the Raiders. Maybe at worst he goes 10 or something like that. But Shador at this point, I mean, at one point the Shador Sanders over-under was 3.5. Caesars had put up a 3.5, meaning will he go first, second, or third, or anything else? Then it was 8.5 most places. And now, again, Drew Dinsick was the first person to come on our air and say he doesn't think he's even going to be in the first round, which his podcast partner, Andy Molitor, who we had on earlier, and I kind of a little pushback on that because Drew could be right. But then you wonder if teams' quarterbacks' instincts kick in, right? Teams that we haven't even thought about who are like, well, we weren't going to pick a quarterback, but if Shador's, you know, available here at 25, maybe we want to trade up for that. I don't know. Then like all of a sudden on Twitter yesterday, not all of a sudden, but every once in a while you look up and there's this anonymous GM or anonymous scout who just murders him, character assassination of Shador also.
I love the anonymous quotes.
Oh, it's just, there's no risk to it whatsoever.
Really. Not at all.
What was the last one I saw yesterday where they're like, not good, slow on his reads, you know, there's other stuff too, which is even worse character-wise, but it was just, yeah, so I don't know. No one knows. We'll only know tomorrow night with the NFL draft, but those are my bets anyway, and that's McShay's latest mock draft, hot off the presses from this morning. Will Hill on the draft, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, that's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, Wes Reynolds with his Zurich Classic Preview, and Mike Somich with all his NFL Draft Best Bets. Later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets and Player Props, Jonathan Davis's NHL Picks, Steve Mackinnon's MLB Analytics Report. Pardon me. Right now you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full VSiN Pro access until August 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. I will fight anybody who disputes this. Jeff Holdorf is sharing that anonymous NFL assistant coach. Let me get that correct on what he or she said about Shador Sanders. Quote, the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good. That last part would seem to me to be the headline, but, you know, whatever order you want to say it in. Frank Doyle. Well, it's official. This draft makes no sense. On ESPN Bet, Shador currently minus 150 to go top 10, minus 120 to be drafted in the second round, and minus 260 to be the second quarterback drafted. Maybe we're all clowns for betting this in the first place. Like I said yesterday, the most inexact science there is, and we're betting on them playing it inexactly. Not Steph. Any Madrid WTA ATP picks today? Busy at work, so can't listen live. Vamos, Iga y Alcaraz. BB playing soon, too. Yeah, just gave him out. Again, the only one that is yet to start, Francesca Jones, is the only WTA play yet to start. I did not play any on the ATP side. Chuckism 1, broke into a neighboring bar to watch the game last night. Can we talk about all us bettors will do to watch the game? You broke into a bar. Wow, that's pretty good. John B., was a screenshot of one of the worst draft bets he's ever seen. Cleveland Browns to draft both Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. Yes is only plus 240, and there is no option. Looks like a DraftKings thing. Peter Schrager also mocking the Saints to go Mykal Williams at 9. Eric Berg saying you'll like the 9 spot on that one as well. Williams still at plus 370 to go exactly 9 at DraftKings. Oh, man. Give me that. Let that 7-1 cash. I'll be a happy man. And then New York NC Sports, he says, please, Jaguars? No. It's a joke. C. Spackler, the angst between Schrager and Schefter on ESPN is palpable. Schefter obviously feels threatened. Should be fun. And Matthew Mayberry, I feel like a big old square saying this. I don't get why Sanders is falling. I watched every one of his starts. He's very accurate. He's no Jaden Daniels, but he can move in the pocket. If the Steelers get him at 21, I think it'll be a steal. Mark me down as a believer. All right, so there's a different opinion on Shador. Will Hill, kind enough to join us for a couple today. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Again, he wanted to call it, I wish I had wagered an additional amount because I actually ended up winning the event, and now I have deep regret. And I said to him, just call it Shoulda Bet More. And he was like, okay, I guess I'll have to. He's also part of the Bear Bets empire. Chris Velika is over there at Fox Sports, and star of the Megapod, Will joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Did I say your full name, Will Hill? Maybe I should have. How you doing, man?
What's going on? I think you covered it. Is everyone okay? Two segments? Are you that desperate? Did somebody get sick? Did somebody pass away? Is everything good?
Well, all right, we figured, who would we want? Who of all of our guests today would we want to chat with the most? And we said you. And now you're twisting it around like we're not complimenting you. All right. That's fine. You can go after one if you want, Will. No?
I'm married, dude. I gotta figure out a way to twist things. That's what happens when you're married. You figure out a way to twist things and you use it against the other person.
Last night of the NBA, not quite as exciting as the night before. We had a few blowouts yesterday, all of them. Indiana, taking a 2-0 lead over Milwaukee. Dame played. He scored 14. It didn't matter. It ends up being a wire-to-wire win for the Pacers. They go up 2-0 in that best-of-seven series as we head back to Milwaukee. I guess the Bucks did get it down. I should say that they had a 13-0 run late when the Pacers were up 115-100. But then Siakam with a big three with 2:05 left, and then the Pacers never looked back. So that was the one moment where it was close. OKC, they don't win by 51, but they end up beating Memphis by 19. I guess Memphis can say, hey, we got it within 8 at one point. That was kind of cool. The Lakers and the Timberwolves, that series, by the way, OKC goes up 2-0 in that series. The Lakers do knot it up with the T-Wolves at 1-1 in a game where both teams were just, I don't really know what to say, 11 of 54 combined from three. I had the over in this game. I don't know if I should even feel bad, right? Jaden McDaniels, Mike Conley, Dante DiVincenzo, Nickel Alexander-Walker combined to go 5 of 26. I mean, I don't know if it's just these teams were just rim clanging all night. I don't know if that was a bad bet or not. Anyway, any thoughts on any of those three series first before we get to tonight?
Yeah, it's funny how the good series just happened to fall on Thursday. Knicks Pistons and Clippers Nuggets, those two have been the most exciting. And it coincides with the draft. So you're looking at a hell of a night on Thursday night to get those two series to go with the draft, man. You're gonna need the remote control or go somewhere with multiple TVs because that's going to be a lot of fun. I'll start with Indy-Milwaukee. I don't think Milwaukee's completely drawn dead just because they do have Lillard back. You got a game where he's going to get rid of the rust here. And they're just – Indy, the one saving grace for Milwaukee, they have no answer for Giannis, who had 34, 35 the first two games. So – maybe you can get both of them at home, and then who knows, make it a best of three. It does seem like this is pretty inevitable that the Pacers win this series one way or another. But we've seen this before where series look different once you switch home courts, and Milwaukee's not played a home game yet, so I wouldn't completely count them out. Them to win in six is 9-1 if you think Milwaukee's going to rally, and even if you think they're just going to win the two in Milwaukee. So I'll pocket the 9-1 if it's 2-2 after four. Who knows? And then I can kind of fool around with that ticket and go from there. But I do think Milwaukee probably is like a, I would say, 50-50 chance, maybe a little better to get both in Milwaukee. I'm not completely sold that this series is totally over, even though I'd obviously pick Indy as they were favored coming in and up 2-0. And if it does end in Indy in four or five, even six, whatever, isn't it hard to see Giannis coming back there? I mean, what is around him? That the Lillard trade did not work the way they wanted it to. They've missed on all their picks, which, look, when you're good every year and you're picking in the late 20s, the Warriors went through this too, where you got to get lucky. You got to hit on some picks. You got to just, even though it's unlikely, you got to, even if you don't hit a homer every now and then, you got to hit a double or a single. And they just, that roster is really decrepit around Giannis. And it does, you know, I think we were talking about this in the group chat the other day, one of the all-time great what-if moments. And it happened. Giannis made to the finals, all that. Durant's foot on the line is really changes how we look at Giannis, because if he makes that three or four years ago, Giannis has never won a final, been to a final, a lot of first round exits. Obviously that happened and Giannis went on to win a title, but it certainly looks like it's gotten stale here in Milwaukee.
I don't see why it's not next to me. He's behind the glass and it's darkened, but I know he is just dying with every word that you're saying. He says, that's why I hate Vikings fans. He says in my ear, with the Giannis, what is there to stay for? And the whole, you're right about the historical thing. We'll never know, right? Durant's toe on the line there. Okay. To So what about the other two games? Any thoughts on either of those? Oklahoma City, you can skip for now. But what about the Lakers and the T-Wolves? Do you have any sense of who really has the edge in that series?
I picked Lakers in seven. I was surprised at the consensus of everyone picking the Lakers. Minnesota has some advantages in terms of athleticism. I wouldn't put too much stock if you're a Lakers better into game two, because we see this all the time. Team loses game one at home, they come out and they roll in game two. And even yesterday, it's a 9-point margin. It's not like they won going away. So I don't see any reason to jump off that, but I think we're looking at a long series. I'm not sold that the Lakers get one in Minnesota. And here's the thing for the Lakers that's concerning. It's an older team. You're asking for a lot of minutes from LeBron and Luka and Reeves. And once you get to game four throughout the rest of the series, this becomes every other day. So now is the sweet spot for the Lakers, where there's 2 days of rest in between, which I think helps them. Once you get to every other day, I'm still at where I was at the beginning of the series, where I just think with a deciding game at home and Luka and LeBron, that's the tiebreaker, and I'll go with the Lakers. But I would not be surprised if Minnesota won the series. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And that's that side of the bracket. These two teams, the Warriors and the Rockets, you avoid the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Thunder. I mean, this is a soft spot, the soft spot of the bracket, so to speak, where any one of these four teams, I don't know about the Rockets, but any one of these three teams, I would say, besides the Rockets, has a really good chance here to go to a conference final. Just quickly on the Memphis OKC series, I've been on this angle, and his points, rebounds, assists stayed under in game two. All of them stayed under in game one. He's avoided foul trouble, but Scottie Pippen Jr. guarding SGA. SGA is the greatest foul drawer pretty much we have in the game. Pippen Jr. is an aggressive defender. He had five fouls in the first game, and he didn't really get into foul trouble in game two. But if you're a believer of the angle that, hey, he can't guard this guy without getting into foul trouble, I would still look towards Pippen Jr. unders here for game three.
By the way, OKC, an 8.5-point favorite in game three at Memphis. That's tomorrow night. And then the two other series we just mentioned, the Bucks installed. Remember, you can't bet it unless it's installed, Will. Bucks, 4.5 points favorite. 4.5-point favorites in game three against the Pacers back in Milwaukee. And the T-Wolves, 3-point favorites, field goal favorite, against the Lakers in game three. Those two are on Friday. Tonight, a triple header. Let me just get one. Well, we ran out of time here, but we'll get to the three. Celtics, 10.5-point favorites tonight against the Magic. Cavs, 12.5-point favorites against the Heat, and the Rockets up to a 3.5-point favorite against the Warriors tonight. A little disrespectful on that last one, huh, Will? No.
It sure is, and I know we're going to break here. The worst rule change I think in my life is the first round of the NBA going from best of five to best of seven. We don't need a best of seven for a lot of these series. We really don't.
We don't. It's interminable. First round is interminable. Okay, Will's thoughts on all three games tonight, is MLB plays, and NFL draft thoughts as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package, just $400. All in, just $400. You'll get a two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. What? All for just $400. Resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer is valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. I may buy that during one of these breaks. Wow. $400, two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim. Resort fees, taxes included. Do I need to say it a third time? I'll wait for another time. Will Hill, kind enough to join us for a second segment, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, by the way, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. To tonight's games, Will, in the association, let us begin. Listen to them chronologically. Orlando and Boston, game two. Boston with a 1-0 lead in this series. They won game one by 17, but Orlando was up a point at the half. What are you doing with this one, with the Celtics favored by 10.5 here?
Yeah, and we still have a doubtful tag on Tatum, I believe, which came out of nowhere. I thought on Tuesday, yesterday, because he finished the game. He seemed okay. I'm going to go Orlando team total under. I gave it out last week for game one. I'm going to go with it until he beats me. Orlando's got some good players. They've got some size. The only problem for them, there's this thing called the hoop, and there's this other thing called the basketball, and they have a hard time putting one in the other. They can't shoot. They can't shoot. 11 threes made per game, worst in the league. 31% from three, worst in the league. That's during the regular season. And they actually shot pretty good from three in game one, 10 of 27, 37% for them. That's a hell of a day. And they still scored 86 points. There's so many options defensively for Boston to put on Banchero. And once you shut down Banchero, and even look, let Banchero score as much as he wants. There's just no other shooting. So barring an outlier shooting performance from Orlando, I just don't see a path for them to get to mid-90s, 95 points. So it's ticked down a touch. It's 92.5, 93.5 in that range. I will go under Orlando team total.
That's the thing about this old baloncesto. It's a very simple game. If the ball does not go through the hoop, It's really tough to win these games. The total, by the way, 196 now I'm seeing in some spots. Ooh, 196.
What year is this?
Exactly. I remember when I was a kid, it'd be nothing to have a playoff game. Where it was, first of all, the early 2000s was horrific basketball. When, the Nets were getting to the NBA Finals, the Jason Kidd-led Nets, that was so bad. But, I remember, the Bullets beating the Hawks, 77-72, and people were like, yeah, sure, they won. Miami-Cleveland tonight, game two. Cleveland with a 1-0 lead in this series. Once again, for the second straight game, a 12.5-point favorite. Remember, they won game one by 21. It's a little deceptive because they were up 8 with about 7 minutes left. What do you got here?
I just don't see much of a path here for Miami. As great as Spoelstra is, as much as they've proven us wrong over the past couple of years with these ridiculous runs, they're outmanned here. Cleveland's really good. I don't know if they're going to beat Boston, but they're going to get to that series in the conference final. So I would lay it, if anything. I haven't bet it, but I think Cleveland rolls here.
All right, and then the Dubs and the Rockets. Dubs lead this series 1-0. Game two, still in Houston. Rockets, as we mentioned, 3.5-point favorites. Total 204. Warriors led by 23 at one point in game one. Rockets cut it all the way to 3 before the Warriors got them down the stretch. But the Rockets had a 52-36 rebounding advantage. And they were only 11 of 20 from the stripe. They had 16 turnovers, so a lot to clean up for the Rockets.
Yeah, Rockets 20% from 3. And like you said, missed 9 free throws, 55% from the line. You have correctly called the Warriors the most beautiful thing in sports, Warriors basketball. Boy, Sunday night was a reprieve from that. That was not pretty. Houston's almost like St. John's basketball or Houston University from past years, where their offense is shooting, missing, and hoping you get something on a putback. That being said, it's interesting. Game two, when the road team steals game one, the team in game two that's at home usually rolls. But this is different because the Warriors are favored, and the Warriors are so experienced where they value the rest. They think, all right, if we get a close series here, a quick series, we can earn ourselves some rest, a little mini buy, which is valuable. That being said, I do think the advantage on the glass for Houston is sustainable. I think they'll shoot a little better. How could you shoot worse? I'm not cutting in line here to lay 3.5. I would pick Houston to win. If I were to bet it, I would take Houston on the money line. Wouldn't feel great about it, but I do think Houston wins this game. And, it's amazing. These teams met 4 times in 5 years in the playoffs, from 2015 to 2019, 2 conference finals. That's a real rivalry. Here we are a decade later. Houston's got a whole new team, whole new coach, whole new everything. It's still Steph. It's still Kerr. It's still Draymond. Their longevity is really kind of underrated. And it is just man, 10 years ago that first series was. That's hard to believe, too.
Bro, they won 4 championships, and they probably should have won 6, right? The 3-1 against the Cavs, where they go scoreless the last 440, the 73-win team. And then, the year the Raptors beat them,
sure,
Durant,
whole team got hurt,
ruptures his Achilles, and Clay blows out his knee. Before we move on from the NBA, any thoughts? Obviously, there's 3 games tomorrow night, too. We mentioned the Thunder, 8.5-point favorites, but also the series knotted up at 1 apiece, the Knicks and the Pistons. That's a coin flip. Knicks are, I guess, a 1-point favorite at this point. And the Nuggets-Clippers, the best series going, knotted up at 1 apiece. Clippers, 5-point favorites, back in L.A. now for Game 3.
I'll start with my Detroit Pistons. I like this team. I picked them in 6. I got 9-1. I see no reason to jump off. You can still get Pistons in 6 at 5-1 at DraftKings. I haven't shopped it too well. Not a lot of this stuff is up, but I just think that the Knicks are in some trouble. The Pistons shot 6-27 from 3 in game 2 and still won the game on the road. They've really outplayed the Knicks for a large majority of the series. I actually think Cade Cunningham's the best player in the series, and they're going to be home. The Knicks, really, their offense comes down to Brunson basically just trying to get to the free throw line, which has not really worked. Pistons, outside of a 2-minute stretch where they just fell apart in game 1, have dominated the series. I think the Pistons are getting both of these in at home, and I think they're going back up 3-1. So I like Detroit in game 3, and I like Detroit in the series. And I picked Nuggets in seven. I was one of the few who didn't like the Clippers here. I'm a little concerned. It feels like the Clippers just have more answers, more options. It is kind of nice to see a vintage throwback Kawhi, like, oh, we forget how great this guy was. You know, game two, he kind of reminds us. I would lay it with the Clippers. I think the Nuggets might be in some trouble would be my summary of that series. Great right, series, though.
Great series so far, anyway. What about Major League Baseball? Full slate today, full day baseball.
The Mets are good. The Mets are good, but they're facing Wheeler tonight. 17-7 for the Mets. I think they're going to win that division. But Wheeler versus Peterson, that's a nice pitching advantage here for Philly. I took Philly minus 125 or so. And I like the Brewers getting a half a run in the first five. Webb against Peralta. I've been doing this a lot. That's a good pitching matchup. You could play under 3.5, which there's a narrow margin for error, play under 3.5 in a first five. I like getting a half a run. You only have to lay $1.25. There's just so many ways to win when you're getting a half a run in the first five, especially when the total is low. You know, 1-1, 2-2. I love being able to win on a tie, win on a push here. So I will take Peralta, who's been great, and Webb, who's been outstanding too. You look at their advanced stuff, a lot of red, a lot of missed bats, weak contact, things like that. So I'll take the half a run in the first five.
Most wins March, April right now with what? That's 8 days left. Padres 17-7, Mets 17-7, followed by the Dodgers 16-8 and the Giants and Cubbies both with 15 wins. If the Mets win this, and I had them race to 10, I'm not going to hate myself too much, am I? Just going to be self-loathing.
What if the Giants, what if your Giants won and you didn't have them? You'd be mad at yourself for that one,
the
too.
The self-loathing is in every direction. That's why I need the Dodgers to win this and so I can move on to May.
Sure.
Real quick, I know you know I played this last night. I played at F3, F5, and full game again, but I failed to mention it on the show yesterday. It's the over in Sacramento. It's just an ATM machine so far, but the way that I'm playing it is I want it to be fly ball pitchers. Last night there were two fly ball pitchers. Today JP Sears is a fly ball pitcher, but on the Rangers side, not really. Kumar is not really either a fly ball or ground ball pitcher. What are they putting the total at in this tonight again? Are you playing this at all? Are you playing the over? By the way, it's a 9.5 tonight.
I was late to the party. I played a couple of them that went under. It's like, you know, I missed the boat here. I missed the party. So I've been playing them selectively. It's not like I've been cleaning up on them though. But it's do you know top of your head what the over under is for this? I know the overs have obviously done well.
9.5.
That first five.
Kumar Rocker against JP Sears. 9.5 tonight. I think I might end up playing. I mean, Rocker doesn't fit the profile exactly, but I don't know. So I don't know. I'm not sure yet tonight with it. We'll see. Real quick before we go. Any wisdom for us on the NFL draft, or are you in the same boat as everybody? You're like, whatever, we'll see.
I have the same information. I mean, we're all aggregating the same information. I will say this. If you're betting everything, just keep in mind this is all correlated. So if you have picks on who's going to go fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth, and you're wrong on five, it's like putting the wrong piece of the puzzle in the wrong spot. The whole puzzle is going to be wrong. So just I've been careful with it, somewhat careful. I've started to add more bets. I hope McMillan goes five. I think I don't buy this idea that the Raiders are going to take Genty at six. I think that they could use an offensive lineman. To me, Banks makes sense at that pick. You could still get around 10-1. So that would be my one if I had to give out a play. Banks six to the Raiders, I think, is worth a flyer. But it's getting harder and harder. These books aren't posting stuff. The information is, you know, you don't know what's a smokescreen and what's not. It's just it's a lot harder to bet than it's been in past years.
What do you have McMillan at five? What number do you have that at?
10-1 and 13-1.
Some people have rumored the Jaguars might go that way. We shall see. Will, good luck with all the bets today, man. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. At not the Will Hill on the old Twitter machine. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Everything he's betting next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out sharpplays.com. At the Sharp Plays, they've got unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. sharpplays.com. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate you guys. Also for like going back from, you know, previous days. And yesterday I told Wyatt this story about how my TV randomly turns on its own. And it happened right after my dad passed away. So we have a couple tweets about this from yesterday. Rat City, back to your TV turning on yesterday. The only thing that still turns on for me, even without the batteries in it, is my Furby. Okay. Knots at G. Kaifano. I lost both my parents too, so I know what you're going through, and I believe in weird stuff like this, so I want to believe it as our loved ones reaching out from the afterlife. I also know when I shut my Samsung with cable remote, it turns everything off for about 15 seconds, then TV comes back on. A lot of people were asking me if it was a Samsung. It is not a Samsung, nor the remote, nor the TV. So the Samsung thing is not a possibility. By the way, he also adds, say hi to Pops for me then. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Paranormal activity, I believe, is what's happening. C. Spackler also, how did an entire NFL draft come down to whether a small running back will be taken top five? I so agree with you, C. Spackler. He says, so all the you can get a good running back in later rounds was BS? Running backs. We're talking running backs, he says. I still say that. And again, we're just trying to win money betting an NFL draft. So this should not be mistaken for talent evaluation in any way. But if we were talking talent evaluation, right, my sports talk radio head as opposed to my sports betting mind, my sports talk mind says, I completely agree with you. I love Ashton Jeffe. He was a great college running back, but he is small, and he did play in the Mountain West, for God's sakes. So I'm like, you know, I know people around here think the Mountain West is the greatest thing ever, but it's not. Wyatt's in my ear going crazy. It's not Wyatt. I'm sorry. So I do wonder if this whole, like, this people being desirous of creating another Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry, like, I don't think Ashton Jeffe's that dude. I could be very wrong, but I'm with you on the general thought there, C. Spackler. And Rhodes at Rhodes Knows, is the Sanders situation comparable to Lamar Jackson? Both 6'2", 210, and looks like they're going both going at the end of round one. Also, Lamar, quote-unquote, couldn't play quarterback. I think it's – I understand the comparison you're making. I think it's a little different just in terms of what – preceded the draft. Lamar was never expected to go at the top of the draft. I understand your general point about how they both were doubted, but in terms of like the mocks preceding a draft, it wasn't the same thing. And in this case, remember that Caesars had up Shedeur Sanders 3.5 as his draft position. There was a bunch of months there, not a bunch, but a couple months there, where it was mocked that Shedeur, because, again, teams want quarterbacks, was going to go that high. Then it settled in at 8.5. Imagine holding, I think Matt Brown has a 3.5 in pocket on the over. Imagine having that ticket or the 8.5 and now having the deep regret that we could have put our entire bank accounts on that if you could have gotten down on it. I mean, it's just an incredible thing, because who knows if he even goes first round at all. Jason Weingarten has some thoughts on Shedeur as well. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Once again, you can follow him at Spreadopedia. What's happening, Jason?
Not much. I would I'd be pretty surprised if he goes in the first round at this point. I was always pretty skeptical that there was a landing spot for him, and it would seem, at least based on the market movement this week, that people are starting to agree with what I've been thinking all along.
Yeah, it's different. I'll go back to the Lamar Jackson tweet. It's different from Lamar in the sense that that draft, which was the 2018 draft, as I recall it, we didn't know who Baker Mayfield was mocked. Like, only like the day or two before was he considered a mid first round pick. And only in the 24 hours before the draft did he become, oh, wow, Baker Mayfield's going number one. And the Ravens having to trade up. Not having to, but deciding to trade up to draft Lamar Jackson at 32. I believe there were 5 quarterbacks taken in that particular draft. So it was never Lamar at the top. This is just a free fall. And I think it's because the nature of those two drafts are so different. That was a quarterback rich draft where Lamar was taken 5th. This is, they're desperately trying to make, you know, obviously teams want quarterbacks. But again, if you believe the talent evaluation that Dart and Sanders, in whatever order, would have been the 6th or 7th quarterback to go last year, I think these teams are kind of snapping out of it. They're like, what are we really talking about? I know we need a quarterback, but is this the guy? Why don't we just wait till next year? I think that's part of it, too.
Well, right, writing's been on the wall, I think, for months. First off, they announced he wasn't going to attend the draft. I mean, that's a huge red flag. You don't attend the draft. You know, you don't attend the draft, likely because you don't want to be on camera. You expect to fall. Second, half of the teams he's been linked to, you know, like Steelers, for example. The Steelers don't have a second-round pick. Their next pick is in the third round. This is a borderline playoff team, a team with a coach that, you know, is still, you know, struggling to maintain his job, and everyone wants to fire him every year. You think he wants a rookie quarterback that's not going to extend his playoff window? I mean, you know, a lot of these teams just don't have a spot for a quarterback that you're not expected to play, let alone a first-round quarterback that's not expected to contribute. So I just think, you know, we're going to look back at this in a couple days and say, yeah, it was really obvious the whole time that he wasn't going to go in the first round. But I think
I'll even add another layer to it. And I heard somebody, you know, I think it's valid speculation, which is going with your scenario. Let's say you draft him. Let's say you're not that good. Let's say the coach is under fire. Well, then there's Deion always sort of looming, right? Where it's like, does a team want to deal with that kind of rumor mill and that kind of speculation, that kind of, you know, pressure, if you will, by a fan base? So there's all these human elements as well. That a team has to consider. And I wouldn't be surprised if that has, if that didn't come up fleetingly at some point in the conversation too. Did you bet it in any way though? Are you going to make money on this?
I hope so. I bet under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round. I have a little bit of Shador to go in the second. Unfortunately, from where I am in California, draft betting is not, you know, particularly viable in the current form, the betting world where we're in. So I have to get what I can get where I can get it. I can't just go and say, give me as much as you can on Shador to go in the second round of DraftKings. Although I do think that's a good bet, even at minus 120, I think that number should just, I don't even know what it should be, but like, I don't understand what possible scenario would prompt the team to spend draft capital to trade back up to the first round for him. I think the free fall has already started before the draft.
Yeah, as Bruce Dobigan points out, though, on Twitter, and I've said this week, too, though, he says, I agree with Jason on Shador's values, but all it takes, right? He says, all it takes is one team wanting to appear more clever than the rest for him to go above his value. And that gets back to what I'm saying. It's going to be the teams struggling with, we need a quarterback. You're nothing in this league without a quarterback. Should we do it versus, yeah, we don't really evaluate him that high anyway. Like, so it's just going to be a tough sort of assessment for these teams on drafts. They get super tempted by this stuff. Okay, to Major League Baseball, what did you bet today?
You got a couple plays, I think three so far today. Giants minus 136, Baltimore minus 134, and the Padres plus 142. If you've been following the futures market at all, you noticed Yoshinobu Yamamoto, whose name I will learn to say correctly before the end of the season, he has dropped all the way to about 4-1. He's the second favorite now behind Skeens. And I personally think at this point, and it's still very early, but I think we can kind of look at Paul Skeens around 2-1, 3-1, and say that that's likely dead money. The reason I say that is it looks like the Pirates are going to be another year in last place. And like I showed you earlier this week, Gil, I wanted to kind of do a query on what last place teams have produced Cy Young pitchers. And I think we found that Steve Carlton was one of them. And Steve Carlton had 310 strikeouts and 30 complete games when he won the Cy Young on the last place Philadelphia Phillies.
Famously won 27 games on a team that I think won 58 games, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that.
Yeah, 30 complete games. I mean, unheard of numbers in today's baseball to treat a starting pitcher like that. And again, no disrespect to Paul Skeens, but I don't expect a pitcher on a last-place team to contend for the Cy Young. I think Yamamoto is the front runner right now. There are some other interesting names. I'd love to dive deeper into that maybe next time. But, Yamamoto's the dude who should be the front runner in the NL right now.
All right, so what were the plays today? Giants and who else? Anybody else?
Giants, Orioles, and Padres. Padres 142 plus 142, my favorite, versus the Tigers.
Giants, Orioles, and Padres from Jason Weingarten. Good luck with the NFL draft tomorrow. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Always fun getting up to the draft, and then it's can't wait for it to be over. Barron, how do you say his first name? Barron, the cornerback from Texas. 10-1 is one of my top 10 picks.
Oh, okay. 10-1 as well. Okay. as one of the top 10 picks, you said?
Yeah, top 10, Barron. I forget his first name. Texas cornerback.
Jason Weingarten, everybody. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network with JVT.